8-1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap'n J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, John the Hood with you, Shot or No Shot is brought to you by...
That would be Hawthorne Race Course. I'll be there today, 11:30. We're taping the Derby Preview Show on the Hawthorne YouTube channel. Make sure you tune in. And the Club Hawthorne Mobile Wagering app. Derby Day is Saturday. Eddie Olchek at 9:35. We say good morning to Shay W. Norling.
Good morning, boys. How is everybody this morning?
Rock and roll. Nice to have you back.
Ah, it's good to be back, Kaplan. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Wasn't sure if you missed me or not, but it's nice to...
I didn't.
It's nice to be missed.
Oh. Putting up appearances. Go ahead.
All right, let's get started. Longtime Packers writer Bob McGinn has had a pre-draft article where he spoke to NFL scouts about the offensive line talent in the 2023 draft. Make the rounds now. In the article, McGinn talked about Bears pick Darnell Wright. Quoting scouts is saying, quote, when you dig into it, he's never been much of a worker. Barely does enough to get by. Not super cooperative. Hard work is not in his vocabulary. Just does enough. They did also add, there's no doubt about it, he is a starting left or right tackle in this league. It's just the work ethic that sticks out. Shot or no shot? This is a legit concern.
It's a no shot. Is Bob talking about himself or the player?
Oh,
wow. So all these platitudes, all these positives, and again, I'm no offensive line expert, but I'll definitely call one or two in my phone and ask, what do you see when you watch film? All these great things you're hearing about the young man. And here comes Bob McGinn saying that he can't play. Well, there's always one. That's a no shot.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot as well, because I will put my faith into Ryan Poles and his staff and the homework that they did and that legendary Saturday workout up at Hallis Hall when SEMO, Chris Morgan, the O-line coach, supposedly said, this is your Super Bowl and we're going to throw everything you can handle and more. And the kid came out with flying colors. You don't have a work ethic? You're not going to get through that. He did.
Yeah, there's a reason why that he's top 10, top 15 pick, and top 10 on a lot of boards before he was drafted. In as a Georgia fan, as an SEC fan, I would always wonder, oh, how come we can't get home on that side? Oh, he's the reason
Same
why.
Same guy that shut down Will Anderson, and Will said, best guy I faced all year on the O-line, that guy, Darnell Wright.
Yeah, I would suggest Bob McGinn, I'm at 40 years in the business, probably needs a new TV. Shay.
I got to tell you, seeing this go around this morning,
ridiculous.
It like put me in a time machine back to a week and a half ago before the draft, when everything was still rumor and conjecture and speculation and notes like this about every single player. And it made me think now, here's an impromptu shot or no shot. The pre-draft reporting is just all stupid, kind of useless.
It's like the mock drafts, Snorling. You're coming around.
The pre-draft reporting is nonsense.
Because you can't trust anybody. Hoodie calls somebody and they say, yeah, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing this guy is a bad workout. Because some scout or some GM put that out there to hope get a guy to slip. Damn it! We were hoping Darnell Wright would be there at 12. He went at 10.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of that flies around. But, I mean, if you trust your eyes and trust the publication that you read, that's what you go with. I don't know. I just watch the games. I don't know anything.
Right.
I mean, the most shocking thing to me post-draft was all the reporting. I think Florio had a couple come out. Some other guys
about
had some stuff.
About Jalen Carter?
But, yeah, they go, well, we didn't report on these guys and these things because we didn't want to impact their draft stock.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. See, that it's too bad, too, because there was a time where it was just a couple of guys that you go to, right, for the draft. Because those are going to camps. They're talking to reporters, and they're giving their opinion based on what coaches say and based on the evidence that they see in front of them, you know, left eye and right eye when they go to camps.
Correct.
Go to senior days and stuff like that. Now, there's way too many opinions out there to trust. Too many.
Totally agree.
I try to narrow it down myself. You know, for me, I'll tell you this. How about this, Shay? One of the best sources when it comes to the draft is college football guys.
Yeah.
For me. Because they're firmly trenched. I know, and there's people in my phone that just watch college football and never watch the NFL. Don't live for Saturday.
Me too.
Like when it's Sundays. Well, what do you do on Sunday? I mean, it's a football Sunday. I'm going back and listening to sports radio in those cities, or I'm reading about the games on Saturday because their Sunday is Saturday. They only care about Saturdays. I trust those guys because all they care about is college football.
Crazy.
You know? Some guy on Twitter with 4,000 followers who does nothing but grind college tape. That's the most useful guy.
Can I tell you a secret? You know one of those guys that used to be just care about Saturdays? Kirk Herbstreit.
Right, to the Amazon people back to Brink's truck up in front of us. You want to call some NFL?
Yep. I remember a story of Kirk Herbstreit going to a Colts game. There for a half. It was like, I don't like it. I'm leaving. Because I like Saturdays better. It's a true story.
It's funny.
It's like, hey, man, but they're going to pay you. Fine. You did. All of a sudden, you do love the NFL. But so into college, he's like, I don't like this. You think football is football, but there's a different style where people just like Saturdays. Shane Orlick.
All right, the Bears have done a lot this offseason. The one position group, though, they haven't really addressed is edge rushers, and Ryan Poles will tell you as much. There are still free agent pass rushers available, like Frank Clark and former Bears first-round pick Leonard Floyd. Shot or no shot, the Bears should bring back Leonard Floyd.
I mean, what am I paying him? How many years am I paying him? If I got to give him a multi-year deal, no thank you, hard pass. Now, if I can get him on a one-year deal where he can try and rebuild his value, yeah, whatever. He doesn't have Aaron Donald in the middle of this defense.
I think that's it right there. It's a no-shot for me. You've seen enough. I've proven my point about Leonard Floyd before he was drafted. That's enough. There's other places he can go, Cap. You didn't have to be here.
I mean, there's Frank Clark. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
There's some really interesting guys out there that are free agents. Yannick Ngakoue,
yeah.
Jadeveon Clowney. Whoever wants a one-year deal, come on in.
I mean, we saw Leonard Floyd in the Bears uniform, and maybe it wasn't a fit for him or he wasn't ready. I know that, as you mentioned, there was much more talent around him with the Rams than it was the Bears.
Correct.
And I think that could be the case again if he resigned with the Bears, that there won't be as much talent around him. There is no Hall of Famer on that line.
Right. He's going to roll back in here. Oh, things haven't changed much.
Yeah, well, you got to rely on him to be able to make
Although
plays.
When he was here,
all right,
they had Akeem Hicks.
Yeah.
Was he here with Mac?
Yeah.
Or did Mac roll in and he left? I can't remember. Yeah, they signed Quinn and they let him go. Mm-hmm. He was here with Mac at the start. Yeah. And they go, we got to upgrade.
Yeah.
Gone.
There's other places where you can go.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's a bum or anything like that. I'm just saying you're trying to grow.
Correct.
You're trying to grow with a lot of young players. And I just think that you've seen him once. I think that's enough.
Correct. Agreed.
Shane Orling.
Andrew Marsh on New York Post talked about something that's been growing steam as a bit of a rumor. The ever-growing likelihood that Tom Brady will never call games for Fox. Listen to this.
Or more. It fluctuates. Now, it was at 51% that he's going to do it to 49%. With the reasoning, it's so much money, he'll try it for a year. However, I talked to a couple of people recently, close to Brady, and I kind of feel like I'm going more 49% chance he does it, 51% chance he doesn't. I don't think he wants to travel that much. Obviously, he's going to go private. I think Brady's a guy who, if he's in, he's all in. So he's not going to be showing up day of games like, you know, Joe Buck and Aikman do sometimes. He's going to be there early if he's going to do it. So it's a four-day event. Again, you know, cry me a river for that type of money for 5.5 months. But I think, you know, he shares his kids with Giselle. I think that's very important to him. And he can make money elsewhere. Now, 49-51. Like, John King. Is that the one on CNN?
Yeah, John King,
King on CNN. Who's our guy on NBC?
Steve Kornacki.
Yeah, Steve Kornacki. So I feel like one of those. I feel like those guys, 49-51, Brady not doing at the moment, fluctuating.
Yeah, it's funny. I heard that yesterday on the Marshan Oran podcast.
It's a good podcast.
Yeah.
Shot or no shot, Tom Brady will never call games for Fox.
Shot. I mean, If it's that close, 50-50, 51-49, he doesn't need the money.
Well, I think we might have talked about this maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I said
we did because there was a rumor 2 or 3 weeks ago that he would do things other than call games. It might have been Collinsworth, somebody who's or Phil, what's his name? Phil Sims said Brady will do things other than call games. Fox will find a way to use him, but he doesn't imagine he's going to do color. And now he may not do anything with Fox at all.
I think in the conversation that we had, I said to you, Cap, I said, it's very odd that he'd need a year off to be able to do this.
A gap year.
Right. There's no gap year. Once you're done with the game, you get back and you get in the booth.
Well, he also does not want to, and I'm not saying it would mess with his legacy as a player, but he became a punchline. Well, maybe he's going to come back and play with the Dolphins. Now he's going to do this. I'm retired. Now I'll come back. Now you're going to go in the booth and be awful at it? That's not who he is.
Well, that either he's going to be great or he's Joe Montana. We thought that would be good, too, and he was awful.
Terrible.
As a broadcaster.
Terrible.
Awful. Great
terrible.
Ball player, but just awful in the booth. I just think it's weird that he would need a year. And I speculated with you on that a couple of weeks ago. I said, that's odd. Why can't he just train in the spring and summer, do some, you know, fake games in a booth, get the, you know, his momentum going, get his cadence going, and then be able to start the season?
Yeah, and again, I like Greg Olsen very much. Love him when he's on Waddle and Sylvie, but he belongs as the number one guy there.
I would agree.
He's great.
I would agree. You don't have to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars to be able to have the proper broadcast team. You just find a couple of good broadcasters and put them in there. I've got no problem with Greg Olsen and the play-by-play guy, Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah.
Got no problem with that.
Very good.
Do you have a one more for us, Jay? Can you slide one in?
Yeah, today is May 4th, which is, as Star Wars fans will know, May the 4th be with you. It's Star Wars Day.
And also now, with you.
I believe Cap has called Star Wars either horrifically bad or one of his other usual colloquialisms. I'm not sure which. But it was something like that. Shot or no shot, Cap needs to watch the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, that's a no shot. I'm not going to. I watched the first one, was wildly unimpressed and out. I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not. So, no, I am not watching the rest of them. And what I called it was exceptionally underwhelming to me. Again, my friend Kevin Anderson over at NBC, he's probably dressed up like Chewbacca today. It's like a huge deal for him.
It's a stormtrooper helmet in the traffic studio over here for ABC 7.
God bless. If you enjoy it, you should enjoy. I learned a long time ago, you fan how you want to fan. If that's what gets you off, enjoy it.
Okay, there's nothing to do with sex here.
I didn't say sex.
You said get him off. I mean, no one's getting off on Star Wars. But, I mean, again,
why we got to do that?
I mean, there's no reason for that, okay? There's no reason for that. There's a time and place for these things. No one's having, you know, getting off on Star Wars. Chewbacca! Oh, God! Here I come!
I'm not talking about sex.
Huh?
You get off on watching Georgia football.
No,
it makes
I don't.
You happy.
No, I don't.
You don't have a little bounce in your step.
No, I'm
not. So they win a title.
I'm black. I always have a bounce in my step.
Wow. Again.
Here's Shea Norland.
It's just not for
speaking
me.
Of black, here's Shea Norland.
Oh.
No, Cap. You don't say that. Can't you just keep it clean? For God's sakes. Coming up next.
Jeez.
My God, I get off. No, Cap, if that's what you enjoy.
What am I going to wear? What am I going to watch on the plane Saturday? I got an 8-hour flight.
Hit a button. Let's go.
What am I watching Saturday night? Snorling.
Around the NFL is next right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Black and Orange YouTube.
Get off.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he falls out.
This is a really
thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000. And still to come, Deal Breakers at 8:35. And at 9:35, Eddie Olczyk with his picks for the Kentucky Derby. Around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, let's get started with something that I found fascinating. Of the 32 first-round picks in 2020, only 12 of them got fifth-year options. Just an idea of how hard it is to hit in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I mean, it's that, and then, of course, the experts trying to pick the draft properly. Two out of, what, 31?
One out of 31 for Kuiper, getting the pick to the right team. Yeah. But the other thing is, Shay, to just push back on what you said at the end, how hard it is to hit right, the Bears got the right pick in Roquan Smith.
Yes.
They just were unwilling to meet his asking price. He was certainly worth the second contract, and he got the money he was looking for, good for him, from the Baltimore Ravens. So they didn't not hit on the pick, just the circumstances changed.
I think that's fair. How do you read that, Shay, when you look at those numbers that you just quoted?
I think that the 2020 draft was not great. And, like, Roquan was 2018, right? So he doesn't even qualify for this one.
Right.
2020, this article from Florio on Pro Football Talk cites the 12 players that got extensions. I won't go through all of them, but Joe Burrow, Andrew Thomas, Tua, Justin Herbert, and then some other fairly obvious candidates. So 19, a lot of them injured, Florio calls busts, and then leaves the wild card as just Jordan Love.
Hmm. Yeah, okay, so Cap, so when we go to that 2020 draft, as Shay mentioned, the Joe Burrow draft, the Chase Young draft, I mean, I look at these names, you know, a lot of them pop to me. Justin Herbert in that same draft, you definitely lock him in. Tua?
Can he stay healthy?
Yeah, that's a question. You mentioned, it's funny, you mentioned Mekhi Becton yesterday, the offensive tackle for the Jets.
Yep.
Another question mark. You know, Tristan Wirfs, who I was very impressed with out of Iowa when he first came out.
Yeah. So, he's the guy that Khalil Mack came around the end when the Bears beat the Bucks and Brady forgot fourth down.
Yes.
He got him with one arm and he flipped him onto the ground. Remember that?
Yeah.
It was like Wirfs got up like, I weigh 320. What the, the hell?
Patrick Queen on here. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, he's out.
Well, there's your case for the running back.
Right. They drafted him like at 30.
32.
32.
Yeah. Yeah. So interesting. Interesting. That says, because some of these names pop to me, but I know, like you said, Shay, it can be a very difficult science to be able to hit on these first round draft picks. Shay Norling.
This is a story also I'm getting from Pro Football Talk. Young Jets players are, quote, starstruck around Aaron Rodgers. Quincy Williams said he's starstruck. Guard Elijah Vera Tucker says it's surreal to have Rodgers around. Garrett Wilson said, quote, this is something 20 years from now, 30 years from now, I'll tell my kids I played with Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I was going to say,
really cool.
I was going to say poppycock to that just for at first, but then as Shay continued to read, you can understand why someone who's 22, 23 looks at a guy that's been in the league, what, 15 years? And you say, oh, my God, it's one of the GOATs. We're going to be playing with one of the GOATs. Probably how young people look at LeBron. Same way.
It's cool. And they were talking about just Aaron's locked-in nature at the practices he's going through. Cool. I'm sure the Packers are like, oh, it must be nice.
I guess it's cool until you know him.
Well, it's cool if Cap's right. It's cool if he shows up. Like, what do you think Romeo Doubs thinks reading this report? That it's surreal for all these young guys to be around Aaron Rodgers. Boy, that would have been nice a year ago. Like, Christian Watson, what's he thinking reading this? The guy wouldn't show up to their offseason programs. He didn't meet these guys till like 2 weeks into training camp.
Dad shows up for the stepkids, but never his own. What about the Packers? Now you're going over there to someone else's home and spending time with them. What about us?
The Jet.
What about us, the Packers? Right. Why wasn't he around? Yeah, you know, I'm a veteran, you know, ayahuasca, get high. And I'll see you in July.
Well, maybe management should have treated him better.
No, that's a two-way street, pal. Two-way street. You're supposed to come in as a professional, no matter who the management is. It's a two-way street. Fair?
Fair, but they also have some responsibility to try and make the relationship work as well. He's not their servant.
Well, Cap, is difficult to polish a turd. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Wow.
Jackson Mahomes was bailed out of jail yesterday for $100,000 after being arrested for charges of sexual battery. Jackson Mahomes. What if you're Patrick Mahomes, what do you do about this family thing where you have your brother riding coattails into the spotlight and screwing it all up?
I have everything we read after the show between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. yesterday. That's the least most surprising thing I read.
Right. When I saw more troubles with Jackson Mahomes, I'm like, whoa, what a shock. This is the guy that stood on Sean Taylor's memorial on the field in Washington. It's a guy that had got a whole bunch of abuse for the way he's treated people around Kansas City. Now he grabs a restaurant manager and just forces himself on her and starts kissing her.
It is...
Who does this dude think he is?
See, and Shane, let's just make sure it's very clear in this segment here about this. I can separate, clearly, Patrick Mahomes from his brother or Patrick Mahomes' wife. I can.
Yeah.
Because... if I start including Patrick Mahomes into his whole family situation, now that puts a cloud over one of the all-time great quarterbacks. I can't do that. Look at Mahomes and his family. He can't control his family. No, that's not the narrative. The narrative is that Patrick Mahomes is his own guy. We've never heard anything about him off the field that was salacious or difficult to deal with. It's his brother that's a jackass.
Correct, but it tarnishes Patrick's brand. And that's what Patrick is saying.
If he's asked by a Kansas City reporter, what do you think of your brother? It's like, you know, I can't control what my brother does. You know, we talk all the time. I love my brother, but some of the things he does doesn't make any sense. Like, he doesn't have to defend himself.
Correct.
But I can separate the two.
Correct.
There's people in your family that you're like, God, why can't you just get right?
But if his name was Smith.
Jigba?
There's a Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Mm-hmm.
If his name was Smith or Johnson, there's a bunch of them. When you hear the name Mahomes... you automatically, oh, wow. Is that guy related to Patrick Mahomes? Yes. It's his brother. Not good.
I see Willie Wilson walking by.
I know. It's good to see.
Yeah. Brother Wilson walking by. Need some gas, pal.
I was going to say, can you get Cody and I to take a gas?
Go ahead.
It's obviously not Mahomes' fault, nor should he have to apologize for it, but it is a pretty good example of what can happen when you're given something without doing anything
right
to earn it. And all of a sudden, you're riding the coattails of your brother, and nobody is checking you at any step of the way.
If it's
somebody
one of your...
in Mahomes' circle, maybe not Patrick himself,
should
be around to check this kid.
Where's Pat Sr. on this deal?
Oh, he's making
sure. I can promise you, if my brother was the star quarterback and I was doing what Jackson Mahomes is doing, my dad would have beat my ass.
Yeah.
I don't care how old I am.
Because now you're ruining the family legacy.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, now the law might beat his ass.
Well, and rightfully so.
There's, good luck to him.
Yeah, it's something that we've never talked about before, Cap, and I think we are on the same page with this. There's something about our last names that, you know, when your parents are passed away, you carry that mantle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that you want to hold up your last name and put it in the best light possible.
Correct. That's exactly right. Well said. Shay.
Very quickly, going back to draft grades, Bruce Arians has spoken out about the four quarterbacks taken early in the NFL draft. Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Bryce Young, Alabama. I don't know why I couldn't come up with that name. Bruce Arians said he had Baker Mayfield graded higher than all of them.
Well, my man's got his Crown Royal, and he's got his Kangol hat, and that's how he judges talent. So,
but it does speak to the fact that the Bears had the number one pick, and they decided to pass on all these quarterbacks. It jives with what he's saying, right?
Yeah. It's funny. Think about evaluation of talent. You know this, but in anybody, just beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
But if you look at the four quarterbacks,
yeah.
How many people went, nah, I can't take Bryce Young. He's too small. He's too slight.
Correct.
Okay. C.J. Stroud. He got slandered for 3 weeks leading into the draft.
Yeah, he said he can't read.
He can't process. He can't pass this test, the QS2 cognition test he's terrible at. He got drafted high, but you know my point. And then Anthony Richardson, 3 years away is what? Who was the analyst or quarterback guru just said? He's 3 years. Mike Martz.
Yes.
He's 3 years away. Wildly athletic and talented, 3 years away. And Will Levis went in the second round because everyone said he's a jag.
Did they say that Stroud couldn't read? Is that what you said, Shay?
He got like 18 out of 99 on the cognitive test.
That's not what he said.
That's it. That's that was the slander going around.
He treated him like he's, what's the word? Why can't I think of the word? He can't read.
The guy can't read?
We're calling him dumb. They said the S2 test was as low as they'd ever seen. He was being called dumb. I'm not making anything up. Cap's, that was the narrative.
Cap said the pocket, and you just said he just can't flat out read.
Right, you're treating him like he's...
I'm not treating him like anything. I didn't say it. I heard it said of him.
You've painted an unfair narrative.
And that is Around the NFL right here on ESPN 1000. Coming up next, Deal Breakers. Oh, here we go.
Next half hour is my favorite of the week.
Deal Breakers right here on
Pay Captain Attention, Father.
And Jay Hood.
Here's today's headlines with Captain Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox got their first series win of the season yesterday by a score of 6-4. Dylan Cease got the job done as the winning streak continues for the White Sox.
Yeah, it's more uplifting and energetic for sure. It's way more fun to win. It wasn't good, but it was good enough. That's how I would describe it. I didn't have a great feel. Didn't get into a good rhythm, which kind of cost me going deep. You know, it's too much inconsistency. I want to get more locked in so I can go 6, 7, 8. But I feel like I'm close, but I still wasn't great today.
White Sox have won 3 straight. They look for the series sweep with Lucas Giolito on the mound. A 1-10 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Cubs lost to the Nationals yesterday by a score of 2-1. They're 15-15 on the season. The Bears have filed the paperwork to begin the demolition of Arlington International Racecourse. The Celtics tied the series at 1 with the 76ers last night as they get the job done at the Garden. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Time for Deal Breakers here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and also on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's Shay Norling with more. Shay?
Let's get right into it, boys. You go on a few dates with a woman who recently broke off an engagement just a couple of months before the wedding. She tells you one night she doesn't want to hide anything from you, and you're not exclusive, so it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. But she was just at her ex-fiance's house the previous weekend, and they slept together. Would you continue to see this woman?
What's the goal here?
Well, I think any goal is you want to establish a relationship. You're into her.
So this is not a friend with benefits type thing.
No, you're not exclusive yet, but you want it to get in that direction.
I'm not looking just for booty call. I'm looking to have a relationship that could lead to something.
Correct.
I thought you were wondering what the goal was when you slept with someone. What do you think the goal is?
No. What I'm saying is, we find each other attractive, but there's no future here long term, but we're going to have fun. Or I'm looking to get serious with someone. If it's to get serious, I'm out. She's done.
That's fair. Or just keep her in the Rolodex. Keep her in the rotation. She'd be your Wisniewski.
Right. She's a fifth starter.
That's not right to Hayden.
She's your fifth starter. It's 11:30.
What do we got here?
Prospects at this bar are slim. Hello. Yeah, meet me at my place.
Cut that meat.
Or I'll come over.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, no, but to have a relationship and she's gone back and now is tapping the ex-fiance? No. Out.
Tapping? What did you say?
The ex-fiance.
Tapping.
Okay.
That's a fair one. Uh-huh. Tap that. Yeah. I've heard that.
Uh-huh.
Out.
I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you go through it and say, if it's just for that, Cap, I understand. I would agree with you. So it's, you know, if she's just there just for a song.
Right. She's just a freaky deaky for whatever. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship?
No shot.
What if the ex-fiance's got a mean streak? I'm getting out. If I'm worried that I'm going to get my ass kicked, I'm getting out.
Well, first of all, no one's kicking your ass. That's one.
I just want to avoid the confrontation altogether.
And two, is she hot?
Right. How hot?
How hot? That's the question.
But she could be a smoke show, and you're not going to, I'm not starting a relationship thinking, hey, hon, I'm out of town doing a game on Saturday. I couldn't reach you. What were you doing? Nailing my ex-fiance. Yeah, out.
So I agree with you there.
Pass.
All right, Shay.
All right, Cap, you'll like this one. Your neighbor has a dog that's easily startled. You have multiple dogs. You like to let them out and leave them outside all day. They can do what they got to do, hang out in the backyard. Mm-hmm. When they're out and your neighbor's dog's out, though, the neighbor dog just barks and goes crazy, gets skittish, goes nuts, causes a ruckus. So your neighbor comes over, and they insist that you schedule when your dogs go out. What do you do?
Well, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker. I'm not going to live my life so it doesn't upset your dog.
There's no schedule.
No.
There's no schedule.
Guess what? Here's your schedule. When my dogs are out, keep yours in if that's what you want.
That's fair.
Damn.
But no, there's no negotiation with that.
Honey, call the whoever's next door. Tell them we're going to let the dogs out. Is that okay?
No. You know, that is a thing, though, I'm sure, in suburbia, where there is a negotiation of let your dogs out at this time. When I come home from work, they can come out at 5:30, but mine will stay in. And then you got to bring yours in an hour because I got to bring mine out at 6:30 after dinner.
Yeah,
no shot.
No shot. That doesn't happen in our neighborhood.
Very harsh with the door.
Yep.
So long, everybody.
No, I think it's a door slam situation.
Wow.
Get off my patio. F off. Go back to your house.
Wow.
I'll do with what my dogs what I want to do. You go back to your house.
But yeah. But in today's, in 2023, in today's society, and by the way, it would probably just take one Twitter search. We could be able to find this, where neighbors are arguing with one another over stuff like this. It would not be a surprise if that is the case, where one is like, hey, you keep your dogs in because my dog gets upset. Don't be. And this is the selfish society that we live in.
OK.
You know that, right?
Yeah. So Mindy and I were driving. Honest to God, you can call her and ask her right now. Hmm. I actually have the pictures on my phone. We are driving up to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We pull off to get something right in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
The house across the street has a sign with an arrow pointing. My neighbor is a Karen. She has a sign in front of her house, arrow pointing back. They have a dog that never stops barking.
Oh,
yes.
My God.
I'm like, really?
Oh, my God.
Want that on your house? Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of that?
Yep.
So, just like, this is the modern Hatfield and McCoys.
Yes.
Without the guns, correct. Clearly.
You know, the other one I've heard, a friend of mine had this happen. Guy likes to smoke a little weed.
Sure.
Likes to sit out on his front porch and smoke some weed. His neighbor came over and said, could you do that someplace else? Because it smells downwind. It gets to me. I don't like the smell. I hate it. Can you not smoke on your porch anymore? Big issue for him. It's my porch. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
Correct. And that is correct.
And what's the end result of that? Can he still smoke on his porch?
He can do whatever he wants. I think the eventual choice was just avoid the fight with your neighbor. You don't want to make this a long-term issue, so he smokes in the backyard most of the time now.
Show Twitch that picture, if you can. Yeah, show
home him. Of never-ending barking dog. That's what she has on her front lawn.
Oh, my God.
And they have the little sign that says, my neighbor's a Karen. Really?
Oh, my God.
I said, Mindy, I had to take a picture of that.
Okay, so, Shay, as far as the weed-smoking neighbor, let me just talk. Okay, you got to show switch that, too.
There's
my neighbor
Karen
is a Karen.
I took a picture of both of them.
Oh, my God. There's nothing wrong with that, Shay. It's his porch. Like, you can't stop him from smoking weed. right? You can't do it.
Right. That's my. But I think to be courteous and avoid a long-term fight with the neighbor, he's moved to his location. I think it's ridiculous. You got to deal with what you got to deal with.
I ain't moving. No, if that's me, it's my property. And if you don't like the smell of it, you know what you can do?
What is with the smack sounds? We're beating our neighbor's ass over this?
That's it.
Well, that's how things get solved today. Come on. Don't you follow Fight Haven on Twitter? I mean, it happens all the time. People swinging on one another. What happened to society, Cap? What happened?
It's messed up.
When you used to be able to know your neighbors.
Correct.
And not try to avoid them.
Correct.
Able to have a kinship and a you know, the block clubs. You remember the block clubs back in the day?
Yeah, and you'd have block party. Now, we love our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We actually hang out with our neighbors.
Yes.
It's like four couples that get together. Yeah.
I have some of that, but a lot of my neighbors are annoying.
Wow.
Well, they're all retired, and when I get home, hey, what do you think about the Bulls? Bulls haven't played in weeks. That's what I think of them.
Exactly.
More Deal Breakers right around the corner on Cap and Jay Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Deal Breakers. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
Deal Breakers ripped from the headlines for this second segment. All right, here you go. You've been with a woman for months, and you both want a classy night out, so you go to see the Philharmonic. You may know where I'm going with this already. During the show, she begins to loudly moan during Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5, and she claims that the performance gave her, quote, a full-body orgasm. Her moaning is attracting odd glares and comments from people around you. What do you do?
Well, first of all...
Let's go home.
What is she, the woman sitting on the speaker in the Howard Stern movie?
That was the greatest.
I mean, what's happening there, Cap? What's happening there? Oh my God, Howard!
I read this story in the New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite a thing.
So, the music at the Philharmonic got her hot.
Correct. But I guess this full body orgasm thing is a real thing.
Full body orgasm.
Right. It's different than just a regular one.
Okay, so what's the difference, Cap? Go ahead.
You have to let it build.
You have to let what
and
build?
And so she...
let what build?
It's not like a quickie. It is
It
is a much longer process, and she goes song to song before she finally achieves...
What
she's desiring.
The big O.
The big O.
Oscar Robertson.
Correct. Okay. Correct.
DJ Cap.
Song
to song.
Okay, so it goes song to song, you say. That's the buildup. That's the reason why she got herself to that point.
Correct.
I see.
That is correct.
It wasn't that that was her song and it's just time for her to...
No, that would be more of a quickie.
I see.
This one took her a long time to build up. But when it happened, oh, baby.
Oh, baby, long gone.
Oh.
Okay. I see. That's it, right? So just so I know, Mr. Science, you're saying that these orgasms usually are quick. They're usually quicker. They don't build up.
Not over like an hour and a half, no.
No?
No. It's more of a tantric type thing.
Oh, I see.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So you're asking the question, what do you do? Well, I mean, for me, I turn around and watch. Wow, look at that. Legs in the air. It's good. So the Bears.
Keep that energy when we get home.
I mean, was she with you with that? Now, that's a question. What if she's with you?
That's what I'm saying. If she's with me.
Yeah.
Or... Shay, did you say we're on a first date?
No, you've been seeing this woman for a while.
Yes.
But it's everybody in the audience around you is starting to give you looks and yes. make comments about the woman you're with.
Yes.
Is she hot?
Moaning loudly.
How hot is she?
Oh.
Well, what do you mean?
My answer has been the same every time you ask this. She's hot to you.
Oh, moo. She's leaving you for the orchestra.
Pretty much. She's following. She's on tour with him. Just so she keeps having that feeling. Would I not feel a little small if she's getting that kind of feeling from orchestra and she can't get that from me? It's an odd one.
Well, I probably would have that discussion.
Yeah, like
can I get that?
How can I get that?
Right.
I mean, need to do better, son. That's how. What if that's the answer?
I mean, it's coming out of you at all pores.
Yeah, exactly. So you look like you jumped in a swimming pool.
Say, Cap, you got to start playing an instrument.
I'll be back. I'm taking music lessons.
I mean, seriously. I mean, why can't I get that? I would wonder out loud.
That's it.
Fair?
Fair. Fair question.
I mean, if she's doing all that, I mean, legs open and it's everywhere. Poor guy is sitting in front of her. Oh, what is that? My God. Is that leaking the roof? It's leaking. Oh, that's you, ma'am. Oh,
damn.
Excuse me. Ma'am, what? Could you please stop? Could you just close it up? Thank you very much. Could you hear the splatter in the back of the guy's neck? He's just trying to have a good night. Leaky roof here. No, that's the lady behind you having the orgasm. I beg your pardon.
I wear a raincoat if you're in section 101. Jay.
Here's Shay Norling. Shay. How would you like to be the guy, Shay?
I'm not going to comment. No comment. All right. This was a story on Waddle and Sylvie. You have a micropenis, and obviously it causes some anxiety when you go on dates with women. How do you break the news to the women that you're with that you have a micropenis?
Oh, boy. Yeah, unzip. That's how you break the news.
Oh.
You must give a little show and go.
Boy.
What do you do?
I mean, do you tell it at dinner? Hey. Boy, I'm having a really good time with you. I hope I see you again. Well, before we go any further, let me tell you this.
You know what? She has a fine on her own, Cap. No, that's not a conversation. She has a fine on her own. I mean, it comes down, and then all of a sudden, whoa. Hello. I mean, that's the thing.
Wow.
My God. She's like, oh, my God, I'm out with Wee Willie. That's no good. That's not a conversation, Cap. That is something that they find out on their own together.
Correct.
In an intimate situation.
In an intimate situation. Agreed.
You can't talk about it.
You can say, listen here, honey.
Listen, I'm not working.
The portions in this restaurant is not the only thing that's small.
Yes, it's much more like a tasting menu.
Oh, no.
Honey, I know you believe I'm the full meal, but I'm really an appetizer. A vegan appetizer.
Right.
Oof.
You know, when you go to the tasting menu, they give you one little bay shrimp. That's me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much. And I apologize in advance.
Yes.
But I can work with it. And if you can work with
it. But I'll take care of you.
Yeah. Whatever you need. It'll just be a short distance. Short par. And that is Deal Breakers on a Thursday.
It's 130-yard par 3 for you. I agree now.
That's okay.
It might be a bit long, Kev.
As long as it goes in. As long as you can tap it in.
That's it.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, Shay.
Back with more Cap and
Jay. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. No, that's a very good job with Deal Breakers. No question about
well
it.
Well done.
Very good. In 2 minutes, more of this and less on Cap and Jay Hood.